You're listening to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast where we discuss our favourite tweets and trends from the week. Whether they're social, political, or from the world of sports, we love the unpredictable mess that is Twitter. Enjoy the intro music. Welcome to the Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast. It's all about talking tweets, Twitter, and the ridiculousness of the Twitterverse. I am joined by Cormac and Sean this week. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, Fergal. I've actually, just as we came on air, I was just notified that I was the winner of a €50 Amazon voucher. And it's not spam or junk. It's actual.
It's not from some prince in Nigeria, is
it? It's not a scam. No.
Okay.
You may remember I tagged you during the week on something on Instagram to win a voucher, and
yeah. So what's my cut?
Well, the thing was, Fergal, that you had to tag people back to win. So technically, you didn't.
You hit me up with this. Bullshit, this technicality.
I've looked through the rule book and consulted the page, and it's all for me.
This sounds pretty dodgy.
Yes.
Well, I'm happy to help you win your little Amazon voucher.
Thank you.
I hope the poor people working at the back in the warehouse are, you know, get some sort of cut. Sean, how are you? How was your week?
My whole week was great, and it was all because of a €10 note.
A €10 note
just made my week. I was going through the toll, and I was like, oh God, I forgot my change. And I looked in my wallet and I had €10. I was like, I'll just use that. And I put it into the toll machine and it gave me my €8 change. And then it spat back out my €10. So
what?
Yeah, and then I was kind of in a bit of a dilemma, because the €10 was just hanging there after me taking the €8. I was kind of going, oh God, I feel a bit bad. I'm not paying for this thing, and I was like, I tried to put the €10 back in.
Can I just, for anybody listening, Sean, I've never met anyone who overthinks moral conundrums as much as you do. Like,
I know.
Torture. I could see you at the toll, just sitting there for hours, torturing yourself.
Then I kind of made the decision, well, sure, the car behind me is just going to take the tenner, so I may as well take the tenner. So I took the tenner, and I was kind of lighter with myself.
Yeah. And then, are you going to do the lotto with the tenner? What are you going to do?
No, so this was the thing, right? And then when I got into work, they were having this like whip round for another colleague. Like, you know, you have to like give money. When that happens, I never have any money on me. And it's a really big pain, because you have to go around to the shop, to the ATM machine, and get money out. And it wastes into my lunchtime. Hmm. And then all of a sudden they're asking for money. And I was like, oh, I have this tenner. And the whole thing just made my week. I was just in great form.
Listen, whatever makes you happy, I'm delighted for you. Before we started recording, I noticed we're all drinking tea and coffee at the minute, and I just thinking back to when we first started the podcast a year ago, we were all kind of like, oh, what beer are we going to drink as we start this? Just the lads kind of chatting on the podcast, and now Cormac having a chamomile tea, or what are we having?
Chamomile tea.
I have no fucking idea. Right, what are we talking about in this episode today, guys?
Well, can I just say that this podcast originally started as something to do when we were drinking. Now it's kind of, you know.
Now we're far evolved. Too professional.
It's evolved.
We're far too professional to you know, drink during an episode, of course. Gentlemen, what are we talking about today? What's been the big Twitter trend?
I think overall we've kind of we've all kind of looked at and agreed upon the biggest trend today, certainly on Irish Twitter, was the Beacon. Which is a private hospital in Ireland, have been. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I know what happened, but I haven't read all of the stories about it. But essentially, they were caught out giving vaccines to, was it people in schools, Fergal? Is that, what actually happened?
To be honest, you're probably giving them too much credit there. So listen, basically they gave vaccines to private school that that was related kind of to the CEO of the Beacon itself. So what we'll do is we'll take a look at that. We'll go into the story in a bit more detail. Cool. So, guys, we're going to take a look at that Beacon story that's been trending heavily on Twitter for the last couple of days. But before even we get into that, actually, I just wanted to quickly mention that there was another big news story on Twitter this week. And this might sound not like news at the start, but, you know, Chrissy Teigen has left Twitter. She left Twitter there yesterday.
Who's Chrissy Teigen?
Who's that?
So she used to be a model and she's got a cookbook out, but she's married to John Legend as well. But she had a huge, she was more famous, I guess, in the last couple of years for having a really good, huge, popular Twitter account. And like, in terms of, I'm sure Twitter have what they consider VIP members in some respects, you know, members who bring in a lot of coin for the business just from having big accounts. Chrissy Teigen would have been one of the big ones, probably up there with Trump and stuff. So she had over 13 million followers. And she left Twitter there, I think it was yesterday or today, I can't remember. But it was just over online abuse, just taking shit and comments and stuff. And she was always very interactive on it. But she said she's left once or twice in the past and come back after a few days. But this seems to be it. She's just done with it.
Really? Do you think so?
I don't know. I mean, listen, there's loads of comments on Twitter about, she'd be back tomorrow and all that kind of stuff. But I just think it's interesting just to see, because there's been more and more talk about regulating online trolls and that. I know we've talked about it a few times in the podcast, and I just think it's interesting to see a huge user of the product leave it because of this.
Yeah. Do you know who's also leaving Twitter tomorrow?
No.
Not to take away from the point. Not to take away from the point that you're trying to make, because I understand the point you're trying to make, but a lot of Irish people will get a kick out of this. Thierry Henry is leaving Twitter tomorrow.
I was going to bring up that example. Yeah,
on social media, and a lot of comments underneath Thierry's post about why he's decided to do this, kind of were along the lines of, "Well, it's a pity you didn't leave the French squad when you screwed over Ireland that time."
So, we are so bitter.
We never forget that.
A lot of that.
But it's interesting because Henri has said he's leaving Twitter until social media regulates online abuse better. He said with the same vigor and ferocity that copyright infringements are regulated. So it'll be interesting to see if the likes of Twitter start, I don't know, controlling this stuff a little bit better. If they're going to start losing huge accounts like that, because it's going to take away clicks from their site. Which is going to take away advertising. So it's just, I don't know, just something to look out for in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they've both seemingly, obviously, it's not like Trump, as in he was kicked off. These are people now that are leaving it willingly, which is obviously that's more of a problem, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. When people stop using the product by choice, I think that's when you're in trouble. But listen, let's talk about the main story that's been trending in Ireland over the last couple of days, and that is the fiasco in the Beacon Hospital. So what do you guys know about this just offhand already?
Well, what I know is, like, this is not the first time during COVID that the Beacon has been in trouble. Am I not right in saying that? Were they accused before of, was it something similar before? Or did they throw out vaccines or
They were literally the only hospital in Ireland not to assist with ICU beds when asked.
I think that might have been it. Yeah, sorry, Sean. And their response was that, well, look, basically we're a privately owned entity and we talked about it with our board and decided to no, kind of was the short shrift answer that they gave. So it's not the first time during, well, we're a year now, it's not the first time since last March that they've been embroiled in controversy, you know, around COVID.
And so, then it's the second vaccine kind of scandal, wasn't there? One, wasn't it in Coombe? That the hospital kind of, he gave it to his 20-year-old sons or children, whoever that was the CEO in charge of that hospital. The vaccines were going to waste, so he gave it to his children, and there were like student nurses in at the time that weren't vaccinated, so there was a bit of proper over that. I think this one is just a bit more ridiculous.
This one's absurd. Like, so for anyone listening who, you know, maybe you're not from Ireland, you don't know, the Beacon is a private hospital in Dublin. Probably would have a higher, I don't know, a higher end kind of clients in it, maybe. You know, it's a private hospital.
People, it's part of our two-tier health system where we have private and public, and this is a private one. And it seems to get away with a lot.
So basically what happened was that the Beacon had the claim to have extra vaccines left over from a vaccination day. And they gave it to, they gave the vaccinations to teachers in a private school that was a bit of a distance away from the hospital itself.
13 kilometers.
13 kilometers. As far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong here, lads, but I think the CEO, Michael Cullen, his kids go to that school. Is what's going around online.
Yeah. Okay. You know, just happened to be, you know, obviously the vaccine just happened to be hanging around and, well, at the back of his car, was it? Or was it, is that what he's trying to make out? Like, oh, I just have to pick my kids up or something. And all of a sudden, oh, well, sure.
I found some extra ones.
I mean, they released a statement. I won't read it all, but it reads exactly as you would think that it does. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs in it. Not much is said of really any note in those paragraphs, to be quite honest with you. But he just said, commenting today, CEO Michael Collins said, I recognise that the decision that was made was not in line with the sequencing guidelines in place from the HSE. However, it was made under time pressure and with a view to ensuring that the vaccine did not go to waste. I sincerely apologise for the upset, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, he's apologising, but I don't, like, what do you guys, I don't really think there's any comeback.
No, and Twitter's not believing this for a second, you know. I'm going to get into a few of those comments now. But Cullen's saying time pressure was a factor. You know what? If there's leftover vaccines, I would absolutely rather they went to somebody than been wasted. Of course I would. Any sensible person would think that. But the fact of the matter is that they bypassed a lot of different people that were a lot closer to the hospital, even within the hospital, to give them to these particular people of this private school that happened to be connected to the Beacon CEO, Michael Cullen. So they said in the same statement as well, late on Tuesday evening, there were still 20 leftover vaccines drawn up that needed to be used within a very short period of time. As this was the AstraZeneca vaccine, there were no limitations to who this could be administered to. In keeping with the zero wastage policy, the decision was made to administer the leftover vaccine to teachers who were in a position to get to the centre within the exceptionally short time frame required. Now, a lot of people on Twitter are calling absolute bullshit on this explanation. The fact that short space of time, there's plenty of schools quicker or closer to the Beacon. And listen, we're going to get into that in a second. And then the choice of who they gave it to. So I assume all three of us are in agreement here that there should be zero wastage, but it was done like completely against HSE guidelines and incorrectly.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
yeah. But part of the problem also comes, it kind of goes back later in, or earlier in the day, or actually earlier at the weekend with the HSE, because there was a woman, I was listening to Joe Duffy today. I know I shouldn't really be listening to Joe Duffy, but...
How do you do that and not like just want to kill yourself after?
I don't know, man. Yeah. But anyway, she was... psychotherapist or something, and she was due to get a vaccine, and she said she got a text on Sunday that she was due to get the vaccine on Tuesday in the Beacon at 2 p.m. And on the Monday, she got another text to say that she was due to get the vaccine in DCU, the Helix, at 12:45 on the Monday. So she was afraid that if she cancelled one, that she'd be cancelled off the system altogether.
Yeah.
She tweeted the HSE live to kind of say, what's the story here? I've got two applications or two appointments for getting a vaccine. If I cancel one, will it be taken off the system? I really need it. So she went and she got the one on the Monday. And then as soon as she got the vaccine on the Monday, she cancelled the Beacon one. Now, what happened then was that the Beacon said there was about 200 no-shows. That's obviously got to, and she's part of the no-shows. It wasn't that she was sitting at home going, I don't want the vaccine. It was that she got, it was like a double booking.
Yeah. So
there's something wrong with the booking system. The people are getting, you know, booked in twice, and then there's confusion then of whether or not they should cancel their appointments. So then that made me wonder then, was there more vaccines went to waste if there's 200 no-shows? Now, it just came up. I was on Twitter literally 5 minutes before coming on the show, and on News Talk, they were saying that creche workers, also related to the Beacon, have been confirmed as getting the vaccinations also.
What? Yeah. Also, are you doing your research 5 minutes before recording time, Sean? That is just
unprofessional. It's not unprofessional, it's professional, because I'm getting up-to-date information, Fergal.
Fair enough.
My point was, that the problems came from the double booking system. Not to say what happened later on is wrong, but there's something wrong there as well. It's you know, a typical Irish thing, obviously.
Sounds like it. Well, listen, Twitter started dissecting the kind of bullshitty excuse that the Beacon released anyway, straight away. There is a Twitter account called @IrelandPolitico, and they tweeted out, there are 110 schools closer to the Beacon Hospital than St. Gerard's in Bray. There's actually a school for children with special needs a little over 1 kilometre away from the Beacon on the Leopardstown Road. The privileged look after the privileged, was a tweet sent out by them. A few other people were down, like, actually using Google Maps as an example. The show, yeah, it's so good. Like, some of them are brilliant. A fella called Dave O'Keefe tweeted out, just off the top of my head, there are at least 7 schools between the Beacon Hospital and St. Gerard's School, and I'm sure I'm missing plenty. And that's just in one route on Google Maps. Roughly, he kind of shows in red dots kind of where some of the closer ones are. He kind of highlighted the public schools, and they're much closer than any of the private schools on the map. And then Dr. Sharon Lambert tweeted out, Beacon Hospital could try using Google Maps. There's at least 2 special schools en route. GP surgeries with lists of vulnerable patients are closer, and even dental surgeries. Many dentists have not been vaccinated yet, apparently, as well. There's just a few examples with folks on Twitter kind of just completely dissecting that excuse altogether.
The guards haven't been vaccinated either.
Criminal, isn't it?
Start putting them, if that's the case, you know, start putting them to use. Like, I seen a girl called Aoife Stokes tweeting under a tweet Gary Gannon of the Social Democrats tweeted out, and Aoife kind of said, my mother is undergoing treatment at the Beacon for cancer. She's category 4. So this was cohort 4. These were supposed to be the you know, most important group to get done next, and could have been up there in 10 minutes to receive a vaccine, yet they're telling us they have no information on when they will have a vaccine for her. Shane Beattie, who's a journalist, you know, retweeted that, saying, this puts the Beacon vaccine story into perspective. Cancer patients were ready and willing to receive the leftover vaccines from the Beacon that had somehow ended up going to a private school. So there were plenty of patients within the Beacon system that even could have been used. You know, I think, you wouldn't have got them all done, obviously, with just 20, but...
No, of course not.
That's 20 people who are... And this, another interesting question that's raised outside of this, is these, we will assume, for this point, are first dose patients, these people in these schools.
Yeah.
What's going to happen now? Who, like, what's going to happen with the second dose?
I saw a few tweets about that. It's funny, the kind of general feeling online that this is very much it's very classist essentially what's happened, and a lot of people kind of just saying that it's coming from a place of privilege. I know someone called Laura tweeted out, crazy how there wasn't a single patient in the entire hospital available to get their vaccine despite this. And then I did see other people, this one, it's an account called @IrelandSaysNo, and they just tweeted out, blessed are the teachers of the rich, for they shall inherit the vaccines. And it's so true.
I would be concerned that the Coombe and the Beacon are just two that we've found out about. I don't think this is just something both of them dreamt up. You know, like, a lot of people on the boards of these hospitals would be on other boards of other things elsewhere, and I don't think it's something that's just dreamt up in either of these two places. Like Sinead O'Carroll, who's a journalist, she tweeted out, I honestly can't wrap my head around how not one of the people involved in those Beacon vaccinations didn't stop for 2 seconds and think, this isn't right. I guess the point she's making there is, where's the morals in it?
Like, if it was me getting a call, if I worked in a private school and I had his face name? Michael
Cullen.
I had Michael Cullen's, boy in my class, and I was kind of going, oh, I wonder would he do me a favor and or he called me and said, oh, you can get a vaccination there. I'd be absolutely mortified taking it. And thinking all the people I'm skipping and they must be mortified now, because it's the school is out. If you're a teacher in that school, you're going to assume you were one of the idiots who went and got the vaccine. Like, they must be scarlet.
You know that sketch from the Mitchell and Webb show where they're Nazis and they're kind of looking at each other in uniform in the trench in World War II, and they've got like the skull and crossbones in their hats and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was looking at each other going, are we the bad guys? Do you think that's what the doctors and nurses were like when you're administering these vaccines to the teachers? Like, really kind of like, are we the bad guys here?
Yeah, I would be completely mortified. That's another thing. The person giving the vaccine as well, probably, mortified now, sitting at home tonight going, God, I was one of the people that gave those vaccines. Mallow News tweeted out, Fergal, the Beacon Hospital have released a brief statement on the alleged misdistribution of vaccines. And I just read, to whom it may concern, we're better than you, so get fucked.
That's good.
That was their take on it. And just one more I've seen on it before I let Sean come in. Martin McMahon tweeted out, breaking news, a Fine Gael spokesperson has condemned the Beacon for vaccinating private school teachers ahead of landlords. So that was the other... But it raises, before I let John, it does raise a lot of people who are kind of saying, look, maybe the government, because it's a private entity, they've got very little power over what they can do. Like Stephen Donnelly was on the news tonight, calling for a review. But, Stephen Donnelly reminds me of that guy, that standing behind his mates shouting, hold me back, hold me back. Yeah, you better walk away, kind of thing, because I don't really think there's too much they can do. I don't think there's very much they can do, and that's the point people were raising earlier on that I seen. That it's kind of at first I was like, well, what are you blaming Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for, and Labour and the Greens? But I think the larger point people were making is it's become such a cultural thing that. Don't think the people in charge of the Beacon really. Now, I'm not saying the nurses and the doctors and the staff. I don't think the people in charge, like the shareholders or the contributors, I don't think they really care, because this country's just shown over the last 20 years that nothing is going to come from this. Nothing's going to happen. There might be a review that will cost the taxpayers a couple of million, and a recommendation will be made that's never implemented.
Yeah.
A lot of people are online kind of already. I hate to put the downer on it. A lot of people are online are already kind of saying, well, we can get quite annoyed about this. But unfortunately, the culture, those three or four parties that have being in power, either in a majority or, you know, kind of a coalition government over the last, let's say, like nearly 100 years, they've proven with other institutions like the church and other areas that there just really isn't going to be anyone to be held accountable for this. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, no, listen, at the end of the day, I don't think anything's really going to happen. Your man Cullen probably won't step down. Unfortunately, I did see, before we move on a little bit, you know Paddy, who was on the podcast a while ago, our little troll hunter?
I do know him.
Paddy replied to the RT news story about this on Twitter, which is like, jabs for the boys. I'll assume they were transported via brown envelopes.
Well, yeah, this is the point. Like, he's exactly right. Like, it's that culture is that, like, Stephen Donnelly's on giving out about, you know, the Beacon or Cullen tonight. But now, I'm not saying him personally, but somebody very high up in his department could be playing golf with Cullen in a couple of weeks. Like, this is, we've seen this before. We've seen it with AIB and other banks, you know, or and other institutions where things like this has happened, and there's just no change. But I know maybe you are not ready to move on yet, but like, this is maybe the second scandal in 2 or 3 days for the government and the HSE to kind of lurch into. They were all so quickly involved in one the other night where RT Investigates caught them out collecting data on autistic children and children with other special needs, and they hadn't notified the parents that they were doing this.
I just want to say, actually, just the Mallow News, like literally right now, just tweeted out a fucking cracker.
go on.
Just tweeted out, just in quotation marks. And did the Beacon Hospital CEO go to jail, granddad? Ruffles child's hair. He didn't as fuck, Billy. He didn't as fuck.
Yeah, like that's it. Like this is the thing. Like, people are kind of like, it's a comedy now, but like, as this is their second. Did either of you see any of that the other night, the programme or the trends around RT Investigates?
Go on.
It was just another fairly harrowing, like, scandal as such. Like, they were even able to get, like, copies of those autistic children's school reports. Now, how they managed to get them, I don't know how they got them without we say collusion from the other departments involved. I don't know how they would get hold of them without collusion from the likes of the Department of Education, how they were able to sit in a room with parents and be able to tell the parents what their kids got on school reports is a bit strange to me.
Yeah.
Why were they so worried about losing cases against them also? Like, and to go to that length of, you know, gathering data about them,
it's a bizarre one.
Pulling the shots on that.
So I think to kind of lighten the mood, I think, for the rest of the episode, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. It's Twitter's birthday, or was Twitter's birthday during the week. And Sean, I think you put together some of your favorite tweets.
I have put together some tweets, yeah. It was Twitter's birthday. There was an actual thing, your man, what you call the guy who started Twitter? I always forget his
name. Jack Dorsey.
He sold his first tweet for like a ridiculous amount of money.
$2 million, I want to say. And the guy who bought it said, it might not seem like it now, but this is going to be considered in the same vein as the Mona Lisa is in the future. But I wouldn't know how you buy a tweet. Like, what does it go on to his handle? Did he just print it out and hand it to you? How do you buy a tweet?
I don't know. How do you buy a tweet?
Yeah. If anybody can answer that, they can reach us at Tweets Ahead Cast on Twitter. That'd be brilliant.
Would it be like a Banksy? Would it disappear after 2 days?
Be shredded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a Twitter trend by @PopCrave, which was to celebrate the 15 years of Twitter. And people were invited to share their most favorite moments from, you know, Twitter history. Some of them I had on the podcast previously, so I picked out the ones that I didn't have.
Yeah, it's Sean's Lists. He's the guy who makes all the lists.
The first one I entitled Sarah Bin Laden and the American Airlines scandal. This was in 2013. Sarah was catapulted into social media fame. She was a 14-year-old girl from Amsterdam, or for Rotterdam in Holland. And she sent out a tweet to American Airlines, and it was kind of a threatening tone, so to speak. She said, and I'll quote this, probably wasn't very bright, at American Air, "Hello, my name is Ibrahim, and I'm from Afghanistan. I'm part of Al-Qaeda. And on June 1st, I'm going to do something really big. Bye." American Airlines, anyway, tweeted Sarah back and said, "Sarah, we take these threats very seriously. Your IP address and details will be forwarded to security and the FBI. And then Sarah started tweeting back, "Oh my fucking God, I was kidding. American Air, I'm so scary, I'm scared. American Air, I was joking. And it was my friend, not me. Take her IP address."
I was stalling it for a friend.
American Air, "I was kidding. Please don't. I'm just a girl, please. And I'm not from Afghanistan. I never did anything wrong in my love." I'm assuming she meant life.
Come on, English is her second language, Sean. Don't be making fun of her about that.
"Sarah, I'm fucking 14 years old. Do they think I'm going to blow up a plane or something? I'm just stupid. Okay." And then she said, "I also..." This one's kind of funny. "I always wanted to be famous, but I meant like Demi Lovato famous, not Osama Bin Laden famous." So yeah, that amazing. That was Sarah Bin Laden. She got arrested then by the Rotterdam police, and she was charged with posting.
She actually got arrested.
She got arrested, yeah.
I guess it's the equivalent of calling in a fake bomb threat, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, I suppose it is, yeah.
I'm sure there's laws against that.
Yeah, well, there's a Dutch law posting a false or alarming announcement. So that was...
Ooh, okay. There you go.
The next one I came across was Senator Ted Cruz liking a porn video. did you hear about this one
before? I don't know. Is it anything like the Pope liking that Instagram account a couple of months ago?
Oh, yeah.
I heard about this one, Sean, and then I done a bit of further research.
Oh yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
That's the post that he liked.
He liked the post from Reality Kings.
Yeah.
Said.
So this was awkward for Cruz, because not only did he like it on an awkward date, he liked it on 9/11.
Oh. Of all the days, you can't be watching pornography on 9/11. Everybody knows that.
whatever you need to do to get over it.
There's a joke about blowing up a tower there, isn't there? I can't really think of one.
Yeah, I can't really think of one either. The mishap was very awkward due to Cruz. This bit blew my mind. It was awkward because of a support of conservative family values and his involvement in a court case in Texas about banning the use of sex toys.
Oh, come on. What is it? Conservatism in the US and sex toys is a genuine topic over there. Like, they're really against them. It's gas. Like,
I came across it today and I was like, I never knew. Like,
Yeah. It's a big thing. Do you believe if, there's some belief about like that women won't like penises as much because of them. I'm dead serious, by the way. This is a genuine belief.
Right. And Ted Cruz is worried about this, is he?
Yeah. They'll overstimulate themselves and they'll be no longer interested in men.
So,
lunatics.
So anyway, he helped defend the Texas ban against sales of sex toys in 2007 when he was Solicitor General, and two sex toys companies sued to overturn the state's ban, and the court ruled that, you know, the state had no right to interfere in consensual adults' married sex lives with marriage delays. And then someone was kind of saying how, you know, Cruz was so obsessed with, you know, people shouldn't be playing with themselves. Then on the same day, I think Ted's former college roommate said that, you know, Ted definitely doesn't believe this.
Good man.
The next one I came across was, this is a quite famous one, and when I put it up, you'll probably recognize it straight away. Greg from MasterChef, what's his second name? Greg Wallace. Yeah, Greg Wallace. A guy called Nick Holder tweeted Greg back in...
Nick Holder? I think he said Nick Holder for a second there.
Oh, well, back in 2013, and he said... he tweeted Greg anyway. Hi, Greg. I'm cycling over 180 miles in 2 days for Macmillan Cancer Support. Any chance of a retweet? And then he put his Just Giving cause underneath. And what he did was he spelt Greg G-R-E-G. And Greg Wallace, of course, spells it with double G at the end. So tweeted back, Greg? ? And then Nick Holder tweeted back, at Greg A. Wallace, no worries, mate. It's only people with cancer. You worry about your extra G, you master twat. And it was quite a popular, people's favorite.
I've never heard master twat as an insult before. That's quite good.
It is a good one. The next one that I came across that was one of people's favorite was Hulk Hogan. Do you remember that program, Jackass?
Yeah.
And I can't think of your man that died. Ryan Dunn, I think.
Right, Ryan
his name.
Dunn.
Yeah.
He died. And Hulk Hogan basically got confused and thought it was Bam Margera. So he put up a picture of Bam Margera saying, Bam, Bam, I wish you were still with us. I sure would love to hang out again. My brother, love you, miss you, Hulk Hogan. And then Bam Margera tweeted back, I'm alive, brother, but miss you too. He got completely confused with who it was.
There was a trend in Twitter a couple of years ago where people kept on asking Hulk Hogan for a sympathetic retweet because their friend was sick. And it was always a photo of like a celebrity or an actor from a movie, like it'd be your man from Mask or something like that, you know, like wearing like prosthetics. And Hulk Hogan would just retweet it thinking it's some poor sick person. Yeah, it was a real trend for a while.
The last one I came across was for Cormac. It was one of Rihanna's sort of quick quips back at someone who was getting on her nerves.
She is the love of my life, as you know.
Yeah, so I put her in. So this artist called Kira, who I don't know.
She calls herself Sierra.
Oh, Sierra. Yeah. I called her Kira. Anyway, Sierra.
Well, she spells it like the Irish for Kira, to be fair.
Anyway, Kira was in a magazine article saying that she met Rihanna one time and that Rihanna kind of fobbed her off, wasn't really too nice to her. And she said this in the magazine article. So Rihanna tweeted, my bad, C, did I forget to tip you? # how rude of me. And Kiara or Ciara.
Kiara.
Tweeted back, trust me, Rihanna, you don't want to see me on or off stage. And Rihanna tweeted back, good luck with booking that stage you speak of. I thought that was brilliant. That was some of people's,
you know, what's
favorite.
Really interesting about that. I wonder how old those tweets are. There's no blue ticks beside their names or anything.
No, it's back in, I think it was back in 2013 or 20.
Jesus, I wonder when did blue ticks come in? Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know when. That was some of people's favorite moments on Twitter. We did loads of lists already, and a couple of the other stuff that came up, like the Ed Balls tweet was quite a popular one. One about the time that Twitter posted, remember someone got him to post a picture of the murderers thinking that they were his parents or something like that. Do you have any ones that were your favorite over the years? You were on Twitter a lot longer than I was.
I don't actually off the top of my head have any that are complete favorites. No, I suppose if I had actually remembered we were doing this, I would have looked up some. I would have actually looked up some of my own, but my favorite account over the last year or so, purely because it's been a crappy year for everyone, had to be the we rate dogs account. Or the Fergal, you'll know, the @90s WWE account had some.
It's magnificent. It's crackers. A magnificent account.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Brilliant tweets. You know, I don't have any of them to hand, but they would have been. They had some absolutely brilliant tweets all through all of last year. What about you, Fergal? Do you have any?
I follow an account and have for a while now. It's called It's Not Ted Danson's Birthday, and every day they just tweet out It's Not Ted Danson's Birthday. And I've been following them for over a year now, and I haven't seen them tweet that it is Ted Danson's birthday yet. So I'm pretty sure they're just fucking with everybody, which I really admire for like a long gag. I think that's absolutely tremendous. But I don't have any favorite tweets, I guess, but.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at that. I just laughed at somebody tweeting out a news story with the headline "Search for Escaped Murderer with Huge Dick Extends into Vermont." So it's some sort of American news station, and yeah. So
right, I think we'll end the podcast in that one.
That's got me in the giggles.
Cool. So, lads, did you have any tweets of the week you wanted to have a quick glass over? You know what? We're going to skip myself and Sean. We're going to go straight to Cormac. Cormac, you have a thread of the week.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we're going to have a quick look at before we end the episode.
I do.
Listen to that dirty, sinister laugh.
There's a trend today at lunchtime, just after lunchtime. It was # sperm donor movies. And it was the title of movies changed to kind of match the theme of sperm donors.
Which is like, it is a nice change on the usual, just porn titles. You know, it seems a bit more specific.
Yeah, but it kind of did go that way. Let's be honest. I'm just looking at something there that's funny. But my favorite was The Empire Strokes Back. I enjoyed that one. And I just see one just after being tweeted out. I'm not sure it matches the theme, but it was the Spurt Locker.
So, oh, I was going to say that was my favorite one.
So, Sean, did you pick? Sean, I believe you had one picked out.
Inglorious Basterds. There's also a couple here. There's like The Fertilizer.
Yes,
like,
yes,
and it's
yes.
Got a picture of Denzel. Seedless in Seattle. And then I like this one, Load to Perdition.
Yes, yes. Good Sperm Hunting was in it.
The worst. Can I mention the worst one I've seen?
Oh, some of them are terrible. Yeah.
They're just reaching so hard for this. No pun intended. Someone called Miss Mary too, that like, shake sperm in glove. So bad.
There's one there. It's a play on Castaway. It's Blast Away.
That's good. I've seen a fertile. Was it a fertile attraction?
So that was fertile my. That was better. My kind of. I suppose that was my tweet of the week. Sorry, The Man from Spunkle. Yeah, there's another one. I'm going to stop now before
I like that.
Just turns into me.
But you're right. It just turns into porn movies, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Come and Comer. That's it. I'll leave it on that. I'll leave it at that.
Someone loved Bukkake. That is so specific. All right, well, listen, gents, thanks for joining me this week as always. I hope you had a good time. We have been Tweets Ahead Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and the TikToks at Tweets Ahead Cast. You can listen to us on all good podcasting stations, your Apples, your Anchors, your Spotify's. And as always, our intro and outro music is Welcome to the Breakdown by Bill Coleman. Sean is still laughing. Cormac is still laughing. You're still reading the thread, I can tell. So we're going to leave this podcast on Cormac laughter.